Hey there, Vermont Edition listeners. Hope you got a stack of pancakes because we have sugared off this episode until it's short and sweet. I'm Vermont Edition producer Andrea Lorien, and I hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. New England winters are getting warmer. It's undeniable, especially after this winter. But Vermont's maple industry soldiers on. Our next guest is at the forefront of innovation going on in that industry. Mark Isselhart is the maple specialist and program leader at UVM Extension. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kayla.
And listeners, if you have been sugaring this season, we would love to hear from you. Tell us how it's going. Give us a call. Our number is 800-639-2211. You can also email us at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. And we love photos, so send those too. Mark, what has this season been like? What are you hearing?
Well, there's an old saying that if you've seen one sugaring season, you've seen one sugaring season. And I think this is a great example of that. We had many sugar makers tapping very early in response to a lot of factors, one being just warm weather, warmer winter than we expected, but also changes in the size and scale of operations. When we asked producers, about half tapped either earlier than average or the earliest ever, but the other half was kind of on average. So tapping really got underway depending on how big your number of taps you have and how many folks you can hire to help you with that operation. So far, it looks like production is on track. People are about half a crop on average. There's certainly folks who are less than that, and there are even some folks who are above. What really is important to remember is that your particular sugar bush, where your trees are growing and where you harvest sap from, there can be very different weather patterns in your area, maybe slightly colder or slightly warmer, and that can really influence sap flow.
Are you seeing variations in different parts of the state?
Absolutely. And not necessarily just based on latitude. I mean, there are some cold areas in southern Vermont, just like there are relatively warm areas along Champlain Valley and in parts north. So it really depends on where your operation is and where those trees are and how they maybe are oriented to the sun. And then, of course, if you haven't put taps in yet, you won't have collected any sap. We noticed that the really large operations, the ones with tens of thousands of taps, really are limited by how many people they can hire to do a good job drilling holes, and they started tapping in December, actually. And there was some production made because the weather was so warm. And although it's pretty remarkable to hear about syrup produced in the end of December and January, the vast majority of operations were waiting quite a bit until they were really ready to go.
Now, how has the lower than average number of freezing days, below freezing days, affected yield?
Yeah, it's a little early to say for sure because not all the season, we're not at the end of the season so much, but it really depends too on technology. So if producers are relying on sort of the tried and true gravity sap collection, which would essentially be a hole and then some sort of container to collect that sap, you know, they're almost completely beholden to that ideal freeze-thaw cycle. And, you know, they maybe aren't seeing it quite as much because we had long periods without a freeze to recharge the sap in the tree. Producers who use tubing and vacuum and along with that have good sanitation practices, the tubing and really diligent leak checking, they're doing pretty well and will continue to collect sap for days, even if there hasn't been a freeze. Even if the magnitude of the flow isn't as big as like today, where we had a 20 degrees, at least where I am up in kind of north central Vermont, we had a 20 degree night and then a 40 something degree day. And the sap's really, I'm sure, flowing quite well right now. It doesn't take that many of those ideal days to really add up to a pretty big crop. A lot of folks may not know that sap doesn't run evenly over the course of the whole season. It's made up of these really discrete, really dynamic sap runs.
Well, we would love to hear from you, our listeners, about how your sap is flowing, or maybe you have some questions about the whole process. Give us a call at 800-639-2211. Now, Mark, your office is in the Proctor Maple Research Center in Underhill. What are people studying there? What's new and interesting going on in maple research right now?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things. Innovation has always been a hallmark of the maple industry. You know, from its very beginning, you know, we had relatively crude production practices, open kettles, or even earlier. And over time, the technology needed to condense that sap into syrup has really evolved. And right now, the research center taps about 6,000 trees. Each one of those is in some form of research. It'd be hard to characterize everything. But what I would say is that a lot of the research looks at what are the ways to achieve sustainable high yields. So it's not just to take as much as you possibly can, but to do it in a way that is sustainable year after year in terms of tree health and so forth. We have a what we call the long-term study, where trees with no history of tapping, we're now in the 11th year of that project, where we tap trees at the highest level possible at a more conventional, or a more traditional, I should say, gravity type sap collection, and then a control group that aren't being tapped at all. And we're following those trees over the long term, because trees are perennial plants and they're tapped every year. We're not replanting trees and growing them like a annual crop. And we need to know, just because technology has evolved to increase yields, does that necessarily mean it's a good idea? And while we're not at the eureka moment necessarily in terms of the science, it is encouraging that we have a study that has been going now for over 10 years. It's a blink of the eye in the lifespan of a sugar maple tree, for sure. So that work needs to be ongoing.
How long does the sugar maple tree live?
Oh, it can 250, 300 years. You know, it's an amazingly long-lived tree. It's also interesting to note that we're seeing more and more producers tapping red maples. And there's various reasons for that. One of which is it's a bit of a hedge against what we expect to see in a changed climate. Red maple is much more of a generalist, whereas a sugar maple likes a fairly narrow range in terms of site quality and precipitation. Red maple can grow in wet areas and relatively dry areas. They may not love it, but it can compete well, certainly compared to sugar maple. And in Vermont, we're seeing producers embrace that and tapping more than before. You know, when we poll producers, maybe the average might be about 20% might be red maple in their woods now, with a big range, everything from nothing to almost completely red maple. That's a big change, I would say, compared to a generation ago, where red maple would have been kind of actively excluded from a sugar bush.
What's the difference in the product?
That's a great question. My colleague, Dr. Abby Vandenberg, has done several years worth of work on that very issue. And the production data would indicate that although on average the sap might be less sweet, when you factor in volume over the course of a year and over several seasons, the total production is about the same, and really not different at all. It gets much more complicated when you start trying to tease out the sensory characteristics of red maple syrup versus sugar maple. So I would say that by and large, they're both good quality. But like I said, the research is quite complex when you try to get at flavor. Flavor is a notoriously unquantitative thing to measure. So I would say right now, assuming people are doing everything right with the boiling, you can produce a good quality product with red maple sap. Mm.
Do you have a personal preference, Mark?
I guess I try to stay out of that if I can. I know that there's largely it's not a pure red maple or pure sugar maple product. And so it's usually a blend. And a lot of consumers will have had it and not even known it because it can get excluded or segmented in the production practices. So I think good syrup is good syrup. Mm. And there's so much hard work involved and careful attention to the detail that consumers should feel good about good quality syrup reaching them.
Well, speaking of trying some of that good quality syrup, the Maple Open House Weekend is coming up. It's this big annual event that's put on by the Vermont Maple Sugar Makers Association. It includes about 90 different sugar houses around the state. Can you tell us about it? What's going on this year?
Sure. You know, this is a long-standing tradition that the Sugar Makers Association puts on. And it really, at the heart of it, is celebrating Mapleton all across the state. And there are, like you said, about 90 producers and other maple related businesses that are participating. It's everything from folks who have just a 100 taps or so, but very passionate, all the way up to folks who have tens of thousands of taps. And really, it's inviting the public to visit their operations. Obviously, if the sap isn't running, they may not be boiling, but they're still welcoming folks. And it could be anything from a sugar house tour and tasting of this year's crop to sometimes you'll have a sugar bush tour. Some places have live music. Some people have sleigh rides. Maybe not the best year for sleigh rides, but the important thing is to go. There's a website that the sugar makers maintain. If you search for Maple Open House Weekend 2024, you can look at a map and you can see where places are across the state. It's really important to know that each individual operation isn't going to have the same offering. So if you're really looking for something specific, but it's a great way to see how maple is made, get closer to this really iconic product from Vermont, and to hear about how it's made, because the sugar houses really are all different, even though at the end of the day, they have to make the same high quality product. But sugar makers are very inventive and creative and willing to share how they go about doing this process.
What'll you be doing that day?
Well, I'm a little dinged up, actually, Michaela. I ended up breaking my fibula about 4 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
And so it's not the best terrain. You know, usually sugar houses are welcoming and great, but usually there's a little bit of mud. And so I might have to take this year and not visit quite as many.
You need one of those sleigh rides that you mentioned.
Right. Yes. That would be great. No, I'm hoping to at least pop into a couple, but it's probably the doctor may not think it's such the best idea to be hobbling around on muddy back roads.
Sure. Well, we hope you heal quickly or smoothly, at least. Mark Isselhart, UVM Extension's maple specialist and program lead, thank you so much for coming back on the show and telling us about this year's season.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. And good luck to all the producers. You know, you never know where the finish line is. So hopefully we have another couple of weeks of really good weather and folks reach their targets for this year's crop.